Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Week 3 of the high school football season is here. We also have plenty of national sports on tap as well. Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Plenty to get into today. We are going to focus heavily on the national scene. Yesterday, it was all local. Today, we're going to focus on the two major sports seasons that are going on right now on the national level, the NBA and Major League Baseball. Yes, we will have NBA basketball back starting tomorrow. The hiatus is over with. The NBA and the Players Association announced today that the season would resume tomorrow and that there are new initiatives as well. Okay, the league and its players said that they are going to work together on several initiatives to promote voting access, combat social injustice and racial inequality, and advocate for police reform. I love the game of basketball. It's one of my favorite things in the world. I just love watching the sport itself. I love dissecting it. I love studying it. I love basketball. Some nights I just want to sit down and watch basketball. And I'm sure you feel the same way or have felt the same way at some point in time. And I think the biggest issue I have right now is I'm actually questioning if it's genuine. And when it gets to that point, that's when it starts to fall on deaf ears. And I'm at that point now. I mean, really, is it genuine? And I'll tell you right now why I'm starting to feel that way. When I hear the league is returning and there's going to be more initiatives to combat social injustice, and then you immediately follow that up with voting access, to me it seems very agenda-driven. I mean, I got to be honest with you, it just sounds agenda-driven. And so I'm going to put a heavy focus this weekend on just watching the game, dissecting what goes down, watching some of the amazing matchups that we have had in the opening round of the playoffs. And the reason I'm focusing in on that is because I just want to watch basketball. I just want to watch basketball. I love getting behind the mic and talking basketball with you. I love watching sports. It's something my daughter and I share together. And I know when I'm speaking to you, you probably share that connection to someone close to you or in your family as well. You just want to watch the game, right? So let's focus on the game. Tomorrow, this is what the schedule looks like. Orlando-Milwaukee at 1:30 p.m. That game will be on ESPN. OKC in Houston, they'll play at 4:30 p.m. We get Portland and the Lakers at 7 p.m. Each of those games, game 5. Milwaukee can close out their series. The Lakers can close out their series. OKC, Houston's tied at 2. Sunday, we get Boston and Toronto. They're going to open up their second round series at 11 a.m. And then we get the Clippers and the Mavericks. The Clippers can close that out in 6. Start time for that game is at 1:30. And then in the nightcap, it's the Jazz and the Nuggets, and it's set for 6:30, and you will be able to listen to that game right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. And from that point on, the playoffs are expected to go on as previously scheduled. Now, you heard my gripe. Again, I feel it's a tad bit disingenuous, but in the same token, we cannot ignore what happened. It is historical in the name of the NBA. We're going to look back on this 20, 25 years from now. We are going to remember it. So we're going to be joined by Jabari Davis, one of my great friends. Jabari is also the co-host of Dunks and Discourse. Great podcast. Highly recommended if you love the game of basketball. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the impact of LeBron James. Because right now, this guy has the entire league eating out of his hands. And it wasn't something that became about overnight. I mean, this is a decade in the works. ever since LeBron James sat down and made the decision on national TV to leave Cleveland and go to Miami, he has had a stranglehold on the media, social media, and the NBA. It's changed the landscape. Changed the landscape with the players' fraternity era. Changed the landscape of players opting to leave to go to better situations, regardless of how it looks to the public. Completely changed the way we look at the NBA. And at the end of basketball games right now, LeBron's not being asked about a stellar performance. He's being asked about social issues. LeBron James has put together calculated moves to get to this point in time. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about who the rest may in fact help regarding the NBA playoffs. Let's move over and look at Major League Baseball. Plenty of day games today as we approach that trade deadline. The Yankees taking care of the Mets right now, 4-1. That one is in the end of the fifth inning, going into the sixth inning. Still to come, plenty of games in the 4 o'clock hour. We get the Orioles and the Blue Jays. The Braves will battle the Phillies. We get the Yankees and the Mets. And then in the 5-10 hour, Royals, White Sox, Cubs and Reds, Rays, Marlins, Nationals, Red Sox. The Dodgers will send Dustin May on the mound tonight to take on Mike Minor. The Dodgers and the Rangers. Boy, the Rangers are a bad baseball team. Dodgers took care of business with back-to-back wins over the Giants yesterday. The Pirates, this is a team I want to talk about a little bit later on in the show. 9-19, fresh off of a 93-loss season. And with the trade deadline approaching, there are some interesting names on this Pirate roster. Should they blow it up? Should they go fire sell? We'll talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates. They take on the Milwaukee Brewers tonight. And again, I think this is another team. Josh Hader, his stock is never going to be higher than it is right now. We'll talk about this game, both of those teams a little bit later on in the show. We also get the Indians and the Cardinals at 6:15. The Padres will battle the Rockies at 6:40. At 7:10 tonight, we get the A's and the Astros. The Giants will take on the Diamondbacks. That's an important game. Both teams are fighting for a playoff spot in the National League. Both are over that half game or that 30-game mark as well. So there's about 26 games, 27 games for both of those squads. And then in the nightcap tonight, we get the Mariners and the Angels. A couple of games postponed. Twins and Tigers. They had two games in that doubleheader. Has been postponed. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports scene. Again, week 3 of the high school football season. It's here. Tonight, Emory will take on American Leadership Academy right here on KOAL. And then on our sister station, the Carbon Dinos will battle Duchesne. We'll talk about both of those games. That's coming up in just a bit. Also, NBA basketball and some Major League Baseball talk. And do not forget to check out CastleCountryRadio.com. We have everything as far as local sports is concerned there to get you caught up. It was a busy day yesterday. We had a cross-country meet between Carbon, Emory, and Pinnacle. Emory boys came out on top, and the Carbon girls won on their side. We recently had some golf. We've had some volleyball. So head on over to CastleCountryRadio.com, and you can take a look at everything that's happening in the local sports front right now. We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on this Friday edition of the show.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Throw it down. Good! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years.
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
We won't have NBA basketball today, but we are going to get it back this weekend. And I know for a lot of people out there, it's a sigh of relief because, I was definitely enjoying everything that was happening within the bubble. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest. He's Jabari Davis. He's a co-host of the Dunks and Discourse podcast. He joins us every Friday to talk playoff basketball. Jabari, is always a pleasure. Thank you.
Jordan, you know the pleasure is always truly mine. I appreciate having me again.
Definitely. I look forward to the conversations. And Jabari, I want to start with what went down over the past 48 hours. Now, Ernie Johnson, who's one of my favorite journalists, he was talking on CNN about historical significant moments in sports, not only the NBA, but in sports. And he made reference to Magic Johnson announcing his retirement in 1991. And I know you, like me, you remember exactly where you were when that announcement came out. It was shocking. It stunned the world. And it led to, a series of events that we can get into later on a different segment. He actually compared the NBA halting play 2 days ago to that specific moment. And I think that speaks volumes to the significance of it. Whether you agree with it or not, the significance of it is that big.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. And Ernie, you know, whom I also love and I have a great deal of respect and appreciation for, I agree with him. In my lifetime, and in fairness, you know, I my sports loving lifetime basically started in the mid '80s. You know, so I caught the bulk of the Showtime era. So of course that is that date is a significant date that will always mean something to me. But for me, this is right up there, and I think you phrased it properly. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you love everything about LeBron James and what the NBA in general and the players are doing, you know, like as a whole, it does not that's not the point. In terms of the magnitude of the moment, this is right up there with it.
Okay, and with that being said, if you look at the landscape of the bubble and everything that's gone in, right, everything's been about player empowerment in the league, and Adam Silver, I've praised Adam Silver for being a leader through this whole ordeal because the NBA seemed to move along very smooth. That was not the case with Major League Baseball. So I point to Adam Silver, I say, wow, this is the players-type commissioner. Without the league, the owners, the commissioner, actually agreeing to the players' demands, the players aren't in a position to do what they did over the last couple of days, right? I mean, this is all about the player empowerment movement. They put themselves in a position by agreeing to go back to the bubble to stage a strike. It's not a boycott, it's a strike.
Yeah, what I like the most about, well, one of the things I like most about the NBA right now is specifically the fact that you have what seems like a partnership. Now, of course, that should be the dynamic. You know, those should be the dynamics of any situation. When you have players and a league, but I think we can look at other leagues and recognize that that's not that has not been the case. So, with these guys, there seems to be a bit of trust. There seems to be an understanding. There seems to be a genuine, connectivity. That, to be honest with you, it's while neither of us work directly for the league, we're at least tangentially associated. It's one of the more proud thing. One of the more proud professional associations that I've had.
All right, Jabari, we'll talk about one individual in particular. And again, when I mention LeBron James and what he has meant to the player empowerment movement, this is the fraternity era, which I have definitely dogged many times on my show. I've dogged it many of times on podcasts with you. I'm not a fan of the fraternity era at all. But this started back in 2010, 2009. I mean, this isn't an overnight thing for LeBron James. And again, I can point back to an interview that we had here on the show with Brian Windhorst less than a year ago. We were talking about his book, and he was making reference to what LeBron had done behind closed doors, what he has done off of the court. I mean, it goes well beyond what he's accomplished on the court itself. So even going back before Colin Kaepernick, this was something that had been planted, right? LeBron has been working towards this type of leadership role with the players' union for quite some time. And now when players hear him speak, they listen and they follow.
You know, I really appreciate that, in that setup, you referenced Colin Kaepernick, because if you have a conversation of this nature, his name absolutely needs to be in it at all times moving forward, for the rest of history. But in terms of LeBron James, you're exactly right. There's no, you don't get to this point. You don't have this type of influence. You don't have this type of in, whether it's with the NBA as a league, the NBA as fellow players, in the business world, and the world of entertainment. You don't have that by pressing an easy button, and it just develops for you overnight. It's very obvious that, honestly, I think that, to your point, we're only halfway there. In 2009, 2010, we saw it. We finally recognized it coming to fruition. But this seems like something that legitimately started from day one with this. I was going to say kid because I remember when he was a kid. But of course, now he's 35 years old and he's full of grace. I'll quickly just say this. I recognize that not everybody's going to love LeBron James. And you know what? You don't have to. You don't have to love everything that he says and does because quite frankly, that's a rarity in itself. But I don't know of a more influential player or figure in sports that plays in a league in my lifetime.
Well, definitely right now. I mean, look, Major League Baseball does not have a LeBron James. The NFL doesn't have a LeBron James because it's a rarity to see someone of that magnitude hang around for multiple decades. The NFL will probably never have someone as influential of a voice long-term as LeBron James. And I'm not a LeBron James guy. I'm not. I've never have been. I probably never will be. But I respect the process that it took to get him to this point. Because you and I had a conversation, Jabari, off the cuff. Very few people live up to the hype when it's the surrounded hype that LeBron had coming out of high school. Very few people have been able to live up to that type of hype, and he has. He stood the test of time.
Man, it's honestly impossible. Like, it's impossible, but he did it. Not only did he live up to the hype, he has gone above and beyond. And to be quite frank, I never would have anticipated that.
No, me neither. Again, Jabari Davis, our guest right now. He's the co-host of the Dunks and Discourse podcast. We'll talk about that again in just a couple of minutes. But Jabari, let's talk about the restart of the NBA. Does the extra 2 days rest help anyone at all in your mind?
You know, my first inclination was to say no, but let's be real about it. We're heading into the second round with most of this, most matchups. You got a guy like Kyle Lowry. He hurt, he turned that ankle. I haven't heard any updates on the report. Not sure whether he was, slated to be slowed or even out at the beginning of the series. The extra couple of days of rest can absolutely help situations like that.
Yeah, for me, it's the Houston Rockets, right? I mean, that's a team that I think could absolutely use the rest because I think with their lack of size, I don't know that a long-term success is sustainable for this team. So any extra day's rest, especially with the injury to Russell Westbrook, to me, I think it helps the Houston Rockets. I really do, especially in a 2-2 series with the Thunder.
That's a great point. That's an absolutely great point, and you're right. Like, all of a sudden, you got Harden rejuvenated, you got all those guys, and of course, OKC gets the same rest, but you have Harden rejuvenated, but if in any way now Russ is back, that puts that gives them an advantage that they certainly would not have had. So, no, that's an excellent point. You're exactly right on them.
Jabari, I know you are a little pressed for time. Before we talk about your podcast, I do want to mention the Utah Jazz relatively quick here. The Jazz are up right now, 3-2 in a series with the Denver Nuggets. I thought it was over and done with following game 4. I still believe it's over. I think the Jazz would close this out in 6, maybe even 7, just because of the sporadic play that I've seen from the Denver Nuggets, especially on the defensive end of the floor. Your take on that series as we gear up for what's going to be a highly entertaining game 6.
I'm not one that that ever shies away from acknowledging when I was wrong. I went into that series thinking that, with Bogdanovich out of the loop and, Conley being questionable, that it probably wasn't going to take place. And Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz have come out and taken care of business. Now, I like you, thought it was done after game 4. So when all of a sudden Denver, fought back, I thought, okay, let's see how this goes. One of the things that I love the most, and I do appreciate you getting me out of here, but one of the things I do want to say before I leave is that I feel great about where the league is. You've got two young guards in that series that are phenomenal. You've got the situation with Luka, with the Mavericks against the Clippers, that's phenomenal. All in all, I'm just happy to see Donovan. Make sure, I know in your market everybody knew, but I'm appreciative that he reminded me and he let some other folks know he belongs in that same conversation with those other great young guards.
No question about it. Jabari, before we let you go, let me know where the listeners can find you online and, of course, talk about the podcast.
Oh, man, again, I appreciate it. Truly an honor every single time. I don't just say that because we're friends, but it's truly an honor because you're great at what you do. I'm on Twitter, Jabari Davis NBA. As Jordan was kind enough to mention, the Dunks and Discourse podcast, it's with my guy Josh Everly, another great guy. He's a really good follow on Twitter as well. You can find him anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Jabari, it is always a pleasure. I know we'll do it again next week. Thank you again for the time today, and enjoy the weekend.
I look forward to it. You do the same.
Truly always a pleasure to get Jabari Davis on the show. I enjoy the conversation. We may get the Utah Jazz back on Sunday. I believe that's when the Jazz will be playing. One of the aspects that we didn't get into on that segment that I think we have to talk about, while I believe the Jazz close out this series in 6, maybe it goes 7, if Gary Harris comes back and Gary Harris is healthy, oh man, that's another element to this Nugget team. I think it improves them on both ends of the floor. This has been a very entertaining series. Nonetheless, Donovan Mitchell has been phenomenal, and I'm glad we're going to get some Utah Jazz basketball back this weekend. We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. I said we talk Major League Baseball. Could be an interesting weekend with the trade deadline rapidly approaching. We'll dive into that next when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
We're going to continue on the national sports side. talk Major League Baseball. We are approaching the trade deadline. I think it's going to be one of the most boring, uneventful trade deadlines that we have had in recent memory when it comes to baseball, because you're essentially renting players for 20 games. We'll talk about that, some teams that may be buyers or sellers, and we'll also talk about the landscape of Major League Baseball. We talked about the NBA. Now we're going to move on to MLB, and joining us right now, we have a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein. Steve, it is always a pleasure to get you on to talk baseball, horse racing, boxing, whatever it is. I always look forward to the conversation. Thank you.
Oh, that's right. There's a Kentucky Derby in like 8 days.
Yeah, it's coming up.
I totally forgot about that.
No, you didn't.
No, I kind of did. I mean, who thinks of the Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in September?
Well, look, I said this yesterday. We're less than 2 weeks away from the NFL season, and it just doesn't seem like it because we've had no preseason whatsoever. We've had no buildup to it. We're just going to jump into a Thursday night contest between the Chiefs and the Texans. Yeah, the sports world's a little upside down right now, to say the least.
No question about it, but the baseball thing is going to be fun. I do agree, and I think it's going to be sort of a blip on the radar as far as the trade deadline is concerned. You may see a couple of names, you know, household names or familiar names move around, but I get the impression that teams that are already kind of in that playoff position, like if you're a Dodgers, if you're a Cubs, if you're a Rays, a Yankees, you're going to leave things alone. You're going to let things go for the most part because you're set. If you're a team that's on the bubble, if you're a team that's kind of on that rise, you might make a big move. But I think otherwise, I think it's going to be kind of a blip on the radar, this trade deadline.
Okay, so with that being said, we did have a pause in the baseball action for just a moment. And so, Steve, I'm just going to throw this question out there to you. Was it a pause for social justice, or was it a pause because the schedule has been absolutely brutal? We're seeing 7-game doubleheaders, and guys wanted a day off. What are we looking at? Why? Why, in the mind of Steve Bordstein, why did we have a pause in baseball action?
Oh, I think it depends on the team. We talked about this off the air. If you're the Milwaukee Brewers, because of what happened last week with Jacob Blake, I understand that. If you're going to the NBA side, I know you chatted with Jabari earlier. If you're at the NBA for the Milwaukee Bucks, I understood it, right? If you're the Dodgers and Giants, who are coming off a marathon 10-8, 11-inning game in which both the Dodgers and Giants exhausted their bullpens, and the very next day you're coming back for a 5 o'clock start game, oh, yeah, you're taking that day off because, yeah, we just used 8 pitchers in the Dodgers. We used 7 pitchers if you're the Giants. We're going to take a day off because we don't want to exhaust our bullpens 2 days in a row. So you took the day off. And I'm tired of the idea that I'm just supposed to buy into the notion that wink, wink, nudge, nudge, oh, yeah, we're doing this for social injustice. We're doing this to embrace social equality. No, you didn't. He didn't do it for that reason, because that doesn't explain anything. It doesn't explain anything about the Dodgers doing it. It doesn't explain anything about the Giants doing it. It has nothing to do with what happened with Jacob Blake, other than you saw an opportunity to take a day off to exploit what has been a fully exploited cause, and it existed in the NFL where they canceled practices, it existed in the NBA where they postponed games, and it existed in Major League Baseball, National Hockey League. Explain the National Hockey League. What the hell were they doing? Like, oh, we're going to postpone games? What does one thing have to do with the other? That was what bothered me about it.
Okay, so it's a fair point. It definitely has a fair point. And when you look at where we're sitting right now with baseball, Steve, it's amazing. Here we are, August 28th. I mean, in the month of June, we were talking about would the season actually even get off and rolling, right? At the beginning of June, we're talking about what's it going to look like, a 60-game season. Well, we can't play a 60-game season. It's not enough baseball. Here we are now, August 28th, and we are past the midway point. But a lot of baseball in a very short period of time, to say the least.
Been a lot of baseball and a lot of really good stories. I know you and I will talk about the Dodgers here in a moment, but I'm kind of curious. Like, I've enjoyed it. I have. I've enjoyed a lot of games compressed into a short amount of time. I've enjoyed the 60-game season. Every game matters, you know, to coin a hashtag. It's been fun. I've enjoyed this. I don't necessarily want to do it every year. I would rather have the long grind of 162-game season or maybe something in the middle. But 60 games doesn't seem that bad to me. I've kind of enjoyed, you know, watching this. And, you know, if if you're a Padres fan, you got to be enjoying it because Padres are hanging in there really well. If you're a Dodgers fan, you're enjoying it right now. You're not so much enjoying it watching guys go on the DL. If you're a Yankees fan, they're hanging in there right now in the American League East. But there's been some fun storylines, and I've kind of enjoyed the frenzy of the 60-game season.
It's made for a different take on the game. I don't think there's any question about that. And I also believe the 60-game season is going to drastically affect this weekend as we approach the trade deadline. For instance, let's take a look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think this is a team that is that fits what I want. The point I want to try to make right now. They were horrible last season. They suffered 93 losses. Right now, they are 9-19. Okay, when you look at this roster, they have some pieces. You know, if we're talking about Joe Musgrove, we could talk about Josh Bell, we could talk about Colin Moran, we could talk about Gregory Polanco, a guy who has never even come close to reaching his potential, and every year I think this is the year of Polanco, and it's not. They have pieces that would be viable for teams that are contending or teams that are legit World Series champion contenders, and in the same notion, you may not get a whole lot for these guys, especially the likes of a Musgrove or a Josh Bell. So how does it affect the deadline, knowing that we only have 25 games, 26 games left in the regular season?
I think it affects it in the sense of, you know, if you're the buyer of a particular player, you're not giving up a lot because you're not going to get a lot. You're not going to get that long term deal. This is not going to be a Mookie Betts situation. This is not going to be a guy who's going to stick around for 12 years. It's not going to be like that. You're getting a rental. And to that sense, you know, then you look at some of the bigger names we talked about. You mentioned the guys in the Pirates, but I'm thinking more along the lines of a Mike Clevinger. He's not going to be able to. He's not going to be with the team if he does, in fact, wind up getting traded this week, and he's not going to be with that team next year. He knows full well that, and the team that's going to buy him for the summer is going to know that as well. So, I think teams. That's why teams are going to be more reluctant to make this move, because one thing doesn't have to do with the other. Your success with this particular player in 2020 does not mean a single solitary thing that he's going to be there in 2021. In fact, I would hazard a guess that most of the players who are going to be traded this weekend, with the exception of a few, are not going to wind up with that particular team again in 21, simply because the contract situations are still so far up in the air right now as far as the league revenue is concerned, teams' revenue is concerned. These are the ramifications of missing out on a season. These are the ramifications of what we're seeing all across the sports landscape right now, whether it's the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NFL. These are the ramifications that we haven't even thought about yet.
Again, Steve Bortstein, our guest right now as we talk Major League Baseball. I agree with you, Steve. So let's talk about some of the players that would be under contract for next year, maybe even beyond. And I think if you start talking about those types of players, you stop with the Boston Red Sox. This is a horrible, horrible team. Now, they may have some impending free agents. Jackie Bradley Jr., Kevin Pillar, these guys are all going to be free agents. There's options, if I'm not mistaken, on Mitch Moreland. But then you have guys that are signed up long-term. Xander Bogaerts, who's fantastic. I think he's signed through 2025. JD Martinez, he's signed through 2022. But when you look at this team, my goodness, they are a dumpster fire and a half. This is the worst Red Sox team that we have seen in quite some time. And every name that I just mentioned should be available come trade deadline. I don't care what you could get for them. You have to at least explore the options of trading every player that I just mentioned.
And I think a lot of that goes back to kind of the shocking deal that came about when Mookie Betts decided to stay long-term with the Dodgers. I mean, it was kind of a surprise enough when the move was made to get Mookie Betts over to the Dodgers, but, you know, they signed him to a 12-year contract. I think the Red Sox are probably, they're not going to publicly say they're in a sell-off mode because their fan base is so insane and so rabid that they wouldn't buy it at all. But you have to look at a guy like Bogaerts and think to yourself, look, if we're going to be this bad team for a little while, we might have to just eat these couple of years, get some prospects, get some names in the clubhouse, get some names at the minor league level. But then again, that's your problem, is we don't know what even minor leagues are going to look like next year. Remember, it's not like these guys are going to contribute right away to the major league teams. It's only we're going to send them to AAA and bring them up in August or September, because that's not happening. So I think when you look at the Red Sox, they might be stuck with these guys. Now, I mean, granted, maybe it's in their best interest long term, but they might be stuck with these gigantic contracts, and that's going to become an issue again when you start looking at revenue, individual team revenue, league revenue, how much cap space is out there, how much money is available to these guys, and if these guys want to stick around, because they're not going to they're going to put up a fight if they're going to go to some half-assed team in the middle of nowhere where they're not going to get the guaranteed money that they think they're going to get in some long-term deal going to a new team.
All right, so before we end the trade deadline talk, tell me, who's the biggest name that gets moved and where does it go?
Well, I mean, in my Steve Bortsteed and Fantasy Island world, Mike Clevenger goes to the Dodgers and solidifies their championship run, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Clevenger does go, and I think Clevenger goes to an American League team, or maybe, I mean, I'm thinking American League team. I'm thinking a team like the White Sox. I'm thinking they're going to, I mean, I know it's weird to trade him in the division, but this is, there's no such thing as what's off the table anymore. I think a guy like Clevenger moves to an American League team, or I think he moves somewhere in the Midwest. I can see him going American League Central, National League Central. But I think he'd have to go. I think if you're Clevenger right now, you're the missing piece for a lot of teams that have exhausted their starting pitching or have exhausted their, you know, want to move a guy maybe from that 3-4 inning starting role back into the bullpen. You got to have someone there who's going to get you 5 or 6 innings. I think a guy like Clevenger is going to move. I think he's going to move, and I think it's going to be a huge move for whoever gets him.
But what about Josh Hader? I think this is a name that we definitely need to pay attention to because, again, he was one of the best relievers in Major League Baseball over the past 3 or 4 seasons. And when you take a look at what he's done in 2020, he has not allowed a run or even a hit through 9 innings. And he's controlled through 2023. Okay, and when you look at the standings and the way things are going, I'm starting to believe that the train for the Milwaukee Brewers has left the station. I mean, they were a great story for a couple of years. They couldn't get over the hump. They couldn't beat the Dodgers. And now the Brewers are 4 games under 500. Still the playoff race, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, really, Josh Hader is a guy whose value is only going to diminish. And when you look at his velocity rate so far this year, Steve, it's dropped to where it's been over the last 3 years. They have to at least consider moving Hader.
And you know where Hader would be unbelievable? He would be unbelievable in a Padre uniform.
I agree.
Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Their bullpen.
Yep. I agree. I mean, when
Achilles heel.
No question. And when you lose Kirby Yates and then Drew Pomeranz, who was pitching out of his mind, goes down, yeah, he would be phenomenal in a Padres uniform. That'd be deadly for a lot of teams in the National League. No question.
No question about it. And they have been playing out of their minds. We talked about it before this truncated season started here, that was the best infield in baseball, and it just got better. I mean, you would have figured that when Hosmer went out on the DL, they brought up the kid whose name I can't even pronounce. They brought him in to play first. He was a godsend. Then they moved him over to second when Hosmer came back. That infield got even better. And yes, does it bother me when I watch Manny Machado hit grand slams? Yes, it still bothers me. I'm still irked by it. I'm still irritated by it because Manny Machado was in a Dodgers uniform. He struck out in the World Series, and I'm still bothered by it.
Steve Bortsteen, again, our guest, as we talk all things Major League Baseball. Steve, I'm going to give you 3 teams. I'm going to tell buy or sell a World Series championship. You tell me if you're buying or you're selling. We'll start the American League East. Tampa Bay, buying or selling?
Buying.
We'll go to the NL. Dodgers, buying or selling?
Renting. Leasing to own.
still not sold on it. It's got to be the starting rotation. That's what bothers you.
It's the bottom end of the starting rotation. We shouldn't have optioned Gonsolin. I still don't trust Urias. I still don't trust. I don't have as much faith. I do and I don't. There are days I watch Justin May, and I think he's great, and there are days I watch him, and I'm like, eh, not so much. I don't trust Gonsolin. I trusted him more. I don't trust Stripling, and I don't trust Urias.
And we'll end with the Oakland A's, buying or selling?
Ooh. They don't need to do anything. They're the ones who worry me the most.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's the American League.
I agree.
I don't think they need to do a thing. Because that clubhouse is so unique. That team is so unique. I don't think they need to do a single thing. They're the team of the American League. I know everyone's, you know, fancy on the Yankees and fancy on this team and that team, but the A's are, to me, the team. And the funny thing is the Dodgers don't see them until the end of the regular season. They're the team. I think you don't have to do a thing. They don't need to do a single solitary thing. They're fine where they are.
Steve Bordstein talking Major League Baseball with us. Steve, as always, it is a pleasure to talk with you. If we're talking baseball, whatever it is we're talking, it's always fun. Before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Radio Durango SB, currently doing some FM radio work for Radio Durango, which is out of the beautiful city in southwestern Colorado, doing some DJing work there, but soon going to be doing some sports stuff for them and enjoying getting on board with those folks over there. They're doing a great job getting me on board, so follow me on Twitter at Radio Durango SB.
Steve, it's always a pleasure. Thank you again for the time. Hopefully we can catch you up next week and maybe talk about a horse race.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We can talk about a Kentucky Derby that is still the weirdest timing for a Kentucky Derby ever. Absolutely.
Thank you again, Steve. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir.
We're going to take one more commercial break. We'll come back and put the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports right after this on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Just about out of time on this week of Drive Time Sports. A little bit more to talk about, including high school football. That's coming up tonight right here on KOAL. Emory will play host to American Leadership Academy. A great gauge game. Great game to see where Emory stacks up with the rest of Region 12. Here's my early thoughts on Region 12. Richfield, they've been a pleasant surprise. San Juan, pretty good football team. After that, when you start looking at 3, 4, 5, and 6... it gets really interesting. Grand is going to be down. South Sevier appears to be down. You have Carbon, you have Emory. And we've already watched Carbon fall to ALA, and they lost this game 38-7 just a couple of weeks ago. Opening day, so I understand there's a lot of things that change in a very short period of time once you start playing the game in high school football. We've seen that before. Teams start off slow. Games, scores, maybe at the very beginning of the year aren't indicative once you get to league play. But nonetheless, that was just 2 weeks ago. So this is a great gauge for Emory tonight. The Emory offense showed flashes in week one. Struggled last week, but again, they went up against a very good team in North St. Pete. And so, again, curious to see how Emory responds. Personally, I think the Emory defense is going to be just fine. I know they gave up a 38 spot last week. But just looking at this team, I think it's a pretty good unit on that side of the ball. If they get the offense off and rolling, I would expect Emory to be just fine tonight. And then at home, you have Carbon and Duchesne. And I can't stress this enough. People tend to let the 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A tag fool them into thinking that a team is good or bad. That's not the case. I assure you that is not the case. If you follow high school sports, even marginally, you know, there are some 2A schools that could compete, if not beat, 5A, 6A schools. We saw this in high school basketball. For years, the Emory Lady Spartans would dominate 5A and 6A schools at summer tournaments. They were a 3A. They were a 2A school. You can't pay attention to that. So Carbon goes toe-to-toe with a 5A school last week in Cottonwood. Probably should have won that game. Tonight, they go up against a 2A school in Duchesne. Do not let that 2A tag fool you. This is a good football team, and this is going to be a formidable test tonight for the Dinos. Now, you can listen to the Carbon High School game on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Live coverage is going to begin at 6:30. And you can also download the KRPX radio app. You can listen to Carbon High School football whenever from your smartphone or your Google Play app as well. Just download it. It's free, KRPX. Or you can go to castlecountryradio.com. And then, of course, right here, we'll have Emory High School football. We're going to begin the pregame show at 6:25. I'll be joined by Travis Anderson in the broadcast booth. Tonight on the pregame show, you're going to hear from Coach John Famalo and also Emory High School senior Stockton Jensen. So a lot of coverage coming up for tonight's high school football action. Of course, follow us on Facebook, Drive Time Sports, the Smart Health Pharmacy scoreboard. We'll be updating scores throughout the night. All you have to do is like us on Facebook. That's KOAL's Drive Time Sports. Out of time on the show today, I want to thank Steve Bordstein and also Jabari Davis for taking out the time to join us. We'll be back to do it again on Monday. Also, don't forget about the Kiwanis Radio Auction. I got to throw that plug out there before I end the show. Coming up on Sunday, 9 a.m. right here on KOAL, the 54th Annual Kiwanis Radio Auction. I'll catch up with you tonight from the broadcast booth at Emory High School. Be safe. I am out.